I want to continue to talk about embodying the gospel. If you listened to the last podcast, I talked about being steadfast or being faithful. Well, this week I want to talk about missional love. After all, it's February, and we got to talk about love. Small disclaimer / spoiler alert. If you're listening to this podcast, you may hear some of these thoughts in the next couple of sermons that I preach, because it's February after all. Well, I had a friend in high school, and I will change his name to protect the innocent, but he came to me and he had gotten the date with the girl that he wanted to get the date with, if you know what I mean. The girl he'd been pining for and chasing after and pursuing for so long, he finally got the date. And he tells me, "Charlie, we can't just do dinner and a movie. We got to come up with something." Well, it turns out my uncle owned a 20-foot sailboat at the reservoir. And so I convinced my uncle to do a candlelight dinner on this sailboat and to take us on a cruise around the reservoir. That was the other thing. He didn't want to take on the date one-on-one, so we ended up double dating. Me and my current girlfriend at the time, and him and his date, we ended up going on this sailboat with my uncle around the reservoir after eating a candlelight dinner on the boat in high school. That was some pretty A-game dating world right there. I didn't even have to use their names to protect the innocent. Except he was determined to make sure this date was perfect. And he went all out, and we had all the touches and all the bells and whistles, and everything was the way you would dream it up to impress. And it just killed me that he was trying so hard to impress this girl, to win her over with a classic first date. Of course, I don't know what you do after a sailboat cruise to keep that game up. But anyway, he was all in, doing everything he could to embody and show how much he loved this girl. That's what missional love is. And I don't mean the romantic sense. I just illustrate it because we do that with romance. We put on all the practices, right? We find the perfect setting. That's taken the next level, by the way, with social media. You can't just propose anymore. You have to propose with full camera crew and Instagram coverage and secret people in the woods taking pictures of you popping the question. And so there's all this practice and preparation, and family are invited, and they're hiding and behind bushes, and the girl doesn't know, and hopefully she says yes, otherwise it's a huge train wreck. But all this practice goes into demonstrating love. Well, embodying the gospel is no different. It's no different. And when I say missional love, I don't mean love in order to convert. I don't mean love people who are not Christians so that they will receive the gospel. When I say missional love, I mean something totally different than that. Although, granted, if we're demonstrating the love of Christ to others, conversion may happen, but that's not the goal. The goal is to practice the love of God, to put into practice the love of God. By participating and practicing that love, God actually instructs us in what that love means. Paul challenged his church in 1 Thessalonians this way, chapter 3, verse 12. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. The reality is, the English language uses the word love for everything. I love ice cream. I love my wife. Two different things, same word. And so when Paul says, may you increase and abound in love, he's not talking about grand dating plans. He's talking about love for other Christians when he says one another. But he's also talking about love for those beyond the walls of the church, for all. And he challenges them and says and prays over them that the Lord would help them to increase and abound in that love for each other and for people beyond the walls of the church. If that's going to happen, then our love for each other, and not the romantic kind of love, our loving of each other and our loving of those who are not like us, who don't go to church, who are not connected to us yet, who don't know the love of God, has to be deliberate. It has to be imaginative, and it has to be proactive. We can't just hope the world will hear about Jesus and show up at our doorstep. We have to be intentional about practices that display who we belong to. We have to be imaginative. You can't just spiritually go to dinner and a movie. The church has to figure out the sailboat date. Because missional love is not just individual, and it's that. In fact, that's where it starts, in your own heart and in your own practices. How are you loving each other in a church? What are you doing for them? How are you making love increase and abound? And how are you loving those outside the church individually? But Paul's commending the church at Thessalonica to do this as a whole. A church has to have a strategy. A church has to be imaginative. A church has to be proactive in loving each other and those around us. God didn't just call us to make a prettier building. He called us to bring His kingdom to our community. And here's the thing. If we are intentional, if we are proactive, if we are abounding in love, the opportunity to explain why will present itself. It's not why we do it, but when we're radically different, people will take notice. If I keep reading in 1 Thessalonians, this is what Paul says. He says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, we ask and we urge you in the Lord, just as you learned from us, how you ought to live to please God, as in fact you are doing. You should do so more and more." So again, he's saying, keep going, keep increasing, keep abounding, but not for your own sake, not for their sake, not to convert them. Live in a way that pleases God. And it's an important verse because in the next few verses, he goes in to romantic love a little bit. He says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, sexual immorality," abstain from sexual immorality, "that each of you know how to control your body in holiness and honor, not with lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. No one wrong or exploit a brother or sister in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of these things, just as we already have told you before and solemnly warn you to do." What's he calling them to do? The Thessalonican church, by following Jesus, we talk about this, automatically cut themselves off from the practices of society. The world around them was filled with sexual immorality. And as soon as they took a faithful stance on that, it would separate them from the way the world operates. And people would ask, why? It's not so much about abstinence of things. It is, or being different just to be different, or cutting yourself off from the world. It's when that we are different because of who we're committed to. Those around us will take notice and ask, and we'll have the opportunity to explain, this is why we love in this way. This is why we honor in this way. Sexual immorality is for some people an expression of love. They're just expressing love, even if it's in an immoral way. And Paul's calling the Christians at Thessalonica to be faithful and honor God and live in a way that's pleasing to God in the way they express romantic love to each other. Not to condemn those who aren't, but to demonstrate the love of God to those around them. To set themselves apart, not to say, oh, we're better than you, but to set themselves apart by being radically and missional with their love in such a way that people go, what is so different about that particular group of people? I want to know more. And so if we're increasing and abounding in the way that we love each other, the way we take care of the church, our body of Christ, and we're radical and intentional and imaginative and come up with a sailboat date approach to loving those around us, people will want to know why. and that's individual as well as it is as a church body. So as February starts to point you toward romantic love, remember that God has called us to increase and abound in all kinds of love for each other and for all. God, I pray that you would help us to do that. I pray Paul's prayer. May we increase and abound in love for each other and for all. We acknowledge we can't do it on our own. We acknowledge we can't do anything apart from you. So we pray that you would give us the imagination and the energy to be structured and intentional and proactive in showing the world who you are through the way we love them. In Christ's name, amen.